When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. Texans Chiefs tomorrow, noon kick here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown starting at 9 a.m. Clint Sterner and I on the postgame show.
I was about to say I got to get up early. I might not go to sleep, Sean.
We got to tee off
the Notre Dame game tonight and on into this. It's going to be a great weekend.
It is going to be a great day of football tomorrow, and Texans Chiefs a big part of that. Let's get the Chiefs' perspective on things and go out to the hotline right now. Joined by the afternoon host, does a great job for our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. Carrington Harrison joining us here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. You can get him on Twitter at C. Dot, spelling out the word dot, C. Dot Harrison on Twitter. Carrington, great to talk to you, man. How you doing? Happy holidays.
I'm happy to be on with you guys. I feel like I haven't been on in a long time. Maybe you guys have a new Chiefs guy. You guys have found somebody else to replace me.
His name's Ron.
We've got one on the staff, actually. We got an in-house guy.
We get our Phil. Yeah.
We get an in-house guy. Well, these two teams have not played in a couple. The last time they played, the Texans looked very, very different.
Yeah.
That was in 2022. And you know, now obviously it's a different Texans team, Carrington, and to a degree, it feels like a different Chiefs team too, with just the way this team has played this year. And Patrick Mahomes in particular, can you give us the, I mean, you watch every snap of this team. What is different offensively, in particular with Patrick Mahomes this year?
I think a lot of it is the surrounding cast. I mean, it's something that you guys are dealing with C.J. Stroud. I mean, the offensive line has just had issues basically the entire season. The Chiefs have started four different people at left tackle this season. They started with the rookie Kingsley Suamataia. He was sat down in the middle of the second game. They replaced him with Wanye Morris. He wasn't doing the job. They tried to bring in D.J. Humphreys. He played two quarters in the Chargers Sunday night football game a couple of months ago. He then got injured in that game and hasn't played or practiced since. And now they've moved Joe Tooney over to left tackle. That's been a big portion of it as well. They've also had some wide receiver injuries. They lost Rashee Rice early in the season. Hollywood Brown hasn't played yet this year. He's going to make his debut. So it's very similar to what you guys have been dealing with some offensive line injuries and also some injuries in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this week because obviously you can't ignore the Chiefs' track record. You can't ignore everything Mahomes has done, everything that Andy Reid has done. And yet you look at these offenses and the Chiefs have 329 points. The Texans have 328 points. Both quarterbacks have thrown more interceptions than you would like. But I don't get the sense from people in Kansas City that there's necessarily maybe the alarm or concern to the extent that we have here. Is there just a belief that, okay, we saw this last year, they'll figure it out in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% what it is. I've said that there are two camps right now with the Chiefs. Like, they are such a public team. Nobody is about Kansas City. Like, you've seen them enough. You know the cast of characters. You know the history and the track record. There is option A, which you just mentioned. Everybody else is overreacting about the regular season. You guys did this last year. You told us we weren't going to win the Super Bowl. You told us we weren't good enough. Mm. And look, we showed you we won in the end. And then there's the other camp that – you know, the Chiefs have been a little bit fortunate at times. I mean, they have had 9 games this season that they have won on the final possession or in overtime. So whether it's the Ravens game to kick off the season, whether it was an overtime win against Tampa Bay, they had a fumble against the Raiders on Black Friday, like all the 50-50 games they've won this season. So if you just take 2024, so you have to include the playoffs as well, they have played 15 one-possession games, and they have won every single one of them. Just think about how hard that is. Seth, you played in the league. Do you know how hard it is to win every single one-possession game?
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're one of the fat guys. That's a man, you're tired at the end of the game there. Yeah.
That's quite the parlay, man.
Yeah, but again, you know, because this is where we, you know, because we're like the rest of the nation, we've watched the Chiefs and watched what they've done over the last several years. And with any other team, if it weren't the Chiefs, I'd say, wow, they're getting lucky. It's impossible for me. Like, I'm at that position where, yeah, some of it is just flat-out luck, but the old cliche about putting yourself in position to take advantage of good luck and not losing your head in certain situations, like you got to factor that into it in some way.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the conversation that we're having right now in the NBA about what's wrong with the sport, and people are just making the point of, oh, they shoot too many threes. Yeah, that's some of it, but it's also who's shooting the threes. I don't have any problem with Jason Tatum taking a lot of threes or Steph Curry taking threes. Yeah. It's all these other guys. So you're right. Like, a lot of it is who is doing the winning. Like, Kansas City has built this up over time that it's kind of hard to question them in these moments. And I think it's the difference of thinking you can win and knowing you can win. There was a story that came out in the Broncos game where they blocked a 31-yard field goal to win. And DeAndre Hopkins goes up to Mecole Hardman and says, man, we're going to lose this one. And Mecole says to DeAndre Hopkins, man, we've won way crazier games than this before. Everything's going to work out. And then they block the kick. And, you know, the place goes crazy. Like, it's those kind of moments that just over time, when you've done this as much as Kansas City has, you certainly get that benefit of the doubt.
So, Carrington, one of the other big issues, other than obviously all the marquee guys, the other marquee guys on the Chiefs is a certain Chris Jones, who is going up against an interior Texans offensive line that they've had a rough go of against pretty much every defensive tackle in the league, but the really, really good ones, they scare the crap out of us. I was looking back over Chris Jones' season. The only game in which he didn't have multiple QB pressures was the Atlanta game. Was there anything special like anybody has done against Chris Jones this year or in the past that gives him fits?
No, not really. I actually think this is probably a bad time to be playing the Chiefs defensive line. They got back Charles Aminihu, and you know, you guys obviously are pretty aware of him, and he's just really been a big difference. Like, Chris Jones has played his best, I would say, the last 3 weeks or so since Aminihu has returned. Also, George Karloftis has been a lot better with him coming back. So I would say that this is probably the most balanced that their D-line has been, and it's really kind of transformed their defense. Their defense was kind of leaking oil there for a bit, but they've really solidified. Now, some of that is just they played Cleveland last week. So going into last week, Kansas City only had 10 takeaways of the season. They had 6 last week against Cleveland. So some of their defensive numbers are a little bit skewed because they just beat up on the Browns last week.
That's where I was wondering about that because, yeah, defensively, they're not the same defense that they were last year. And they started off really strong this year, but they went into that lull. How much does the loss of Connor, the slot corner, and you're already dealing with the loss of the other starting cornerback, like, you know, since October, how much is that going to really affect them, or do they feel good about their depth?
Yeah, the Connor injury isn't as much of a deal. It's really the Jalen Watson injury. That's really been the big one. The one that you alluded to, the one back in October, he broke his ankle. I mean, there really was 2 defenses for the Chiefs. It was when they had Jalen Watson in the early part of the season, and then when he got hurt, they really went through that lull there for a bit. I mean, up until last week, they had 1 interception in 2 months. So, like I'm saying, last week really kind of changed the numbers of what they are as a defense, but they are starting to figure some things out since they got Aminihu back. And, you know, the chicken of the egg argument, their cornerback room has gotten better as they've gotten better pressure the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't really take Jameis as the guy where you go, oh, yeah, we're back. We're well, getting interceptions again. Yeah.
You know what, though? That's what's felt weird and oddly similar about these two teams. Yeah. Like, despite all the differences, I mean, the Browns turn the ball over six times and you only score 21 points in that game. The Texans have been doing that all year long. They've lost games where they had a plus three turnover margin.
Twice.
Yeah.
Done that.
It's been crazy.
Carrington Harrison joining us from 96.5, the fan up in Kansas City, does afternoons up there at C.Harrison on Twitter if you want to find him there. Carrington, big national topic this week has been the Chiefs and how they handle Patrick Mahomes, not just this week, but for the rest of the year in light of the ankle injury that he suffered on Sunday. He's going to play on Saturday, to nobody's shock here in Houston. He's going to play on Saturday. How big a topic has that been up there, and what's your take on how the Chiefs should be handling Patrick Mahomes for the rest of the season?
It's funny because I would say Monday it was the clear A story. No one really cared as much about the game. It was about Patrick's health and then what do you do? And early in the week, the Texans were the favorite. They were a -2.5 favorite. Patrick then spoke to the media on Tuesday, and that calmed a lot of the fears and worries down. You know how it goes. I mean, you're not talking to the media if you're not healthy. So the fact that he talked, he answered questions about his ankle. He said it wasn't as bad as a couple of the ones that he's had in the past. And then the line started to move and shift. And then they had a practice on Wednesday, and he was a full participant in practice. So he hasn't missed any practice snaps. He spoke with the media. It feels like it's a normal week. Now, we're not going to officially know until I think you see him play and how he moves and what his freedom of movement is. But they were pretty emphatic that this was an injury he had a couple of years ago in the playoff games against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. This is better than that. He also had this injury against Jacksonville. Like, this is the injury that he's had the most in his career, is high ankle sprains. So if there's any team that knows how to deal with this, especially with one specific player, it's Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's where Sean and I were both in the camp of, like, all right, we've seen this before. This is when Roethlisberger always had some kind of an ankle injury and always played through it. Like, obviously, he doesn't have the same mobility, but like when, because you've got a lot of experience watching Pat Mahomes hobble around and play really good football. What's the biggest way that it has affected his play in the past?
Actually, it's funny. I would say that there hasn't really been an effect. Like, most of the time when he's had these injuries, it's happened late in the season and the postseason. So, I mean, the one example that we had, the most recent example that we had was the AFC Championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals. They won that game. And then the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know before the hold on James Bradbury, it was a Patrick Mahomes 40-yard run that got them into position. So he has just been a guy that has just always played through these injuries. He's actually never missed a game because of an ankle injury. The only time that Mahomes has really dealt with injuries in that regard was when he dislocated his knee about 5 years ago now. But, I mean, if they're telling you that he is going to play and he hasn't missed anything, I wouldn't count on it being less than 100% Patrick Mahomes.
Did they ever find the guy that broke into his house? Or the person, I guess? I shouldn't leave out the
ladies. They did actually find him. It was like some Southern American crime syndicate. They actually did find this individual.
Oh, okay. Man, and did they link him to those other athlete robbery? Like, was it the Kelsey and those other guys from other teams?
I know it was the Kelsey one. I'm not sure if it was anybody else, but I know it was the Mahomes and Kelsey was the same person. I do know that.
You say Southern, did you say Southern, like U.S. or South American?
South American.
No, some guy from South America. It was like some Southern American crime syndicate thing. I don't know all it was, but it was.
Sounds
it was
to me like. Do people assume Jackson's involved somehow? Like, not intentionally, but definitely, like, wrote down his address and security code on a paper or something.
You know what? Jackson hasn't been around as much anymore. There was that time for about 18 months that it felt like every 6 weeks we got a new Jackson Mahomes story. We haven't had a Jackson Mahomes story in 2 years.
Yeah, he's been down at Carnival.
Traded him for Taylor Swift. It's the trade of the century.
He's got a little place in Peru, apparently. I'm blaming Jackson.
Hey, Carrington, and we're joined by Carrington Harrison, afternoon host on 96.5, the fan in Kansas City. You know, Kansas City's not Los Angeles or New York or, you know, even Chicago, big cities like that. What's it been like in Kansas City having a star like Taylor Swift, like so embedded and aligned with the city there? Like, what's that been like, especially on the radio?
Yeah, what's
you
the
guys?
Grumpy old man factor there in that city? Because we know what the grumpy old man factor is elsewhere.
Right.
I think it's actually shifted. I think there was this is a publicity stunt. Mm-hmm. Then I think there was, it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was 50-50. It was probably 70-30. This is cool. Oh my God, this is annoying. Get her off the screen. But I think as their relationship has gone on and she's just done more things in the city. I mean, just last week after her concert tour was over, she spent 3 hours at the local children's hospital. Like, you know, she's not on the team. She's not obligated to do that. She just spent a random Wednesday and was doing TikToks with kids and signing stuff. She didn't have any camera crew. She just went there, spent some time, and then left. And I think it's, you know, it's also cool that, you know, I would say basically every week we find out that Taylor went to some local restaurant and then the owner speaks about how cool it was that she was here and she always gets a glowing review. And then, you know, that's the new hot restaurant for the week. That you are right. Like, this isn't Los Angeles. This isn't New York. So when somebody of her stature is now going to places that you've eaten at for the last 20 years, you know, that part's been really cool. And she's just done a lot of the small community things that, you know, if you want to reach out to Kansas Cityans and show I am one of you, she has done most of those things.
That's cool. Who's like the next closest non-sports celebrity that's been that tied to Kansas City for a period of time? Can you even remember, like, anybody remotely close?
That is a great question. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever had anybody like this before. Yeah. I mean, there's famous people, obviously, from here, like Paul Rudd's from here.
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis is from here. There's a couple of SNL characters, but I mean, nothing anywhere close to Taylor Swift.
The guys you named are pretty famous too. You know what I mean? But you're right. Like, it's Taylor's on another universe right now.
Yeah. And I honestly, it maybe you guys were in the same boat. I didn't really understand it until, you know, 2 summers ago, whenever the Eras tour started. Like, I knew she was popular, but I didn't know she was Michael Jackson all of a sudden. And that's who she is. Like, she is this era's Michael Jackson. She's not that to me, but she's like that to hundreds of millions of other people.
I was the closest we probably has, like, whoever James Harden's girl. Whoever James Harden was dating at any given time, it wasn't quite necessarily up to the same stature of a Taylor Swift.
No, probably not.
Yeah, so I guess the Khloe Kardashian was maybe the biggest.
Yeah, probably yeah. In terms of fame. Yeah, in terms of just sheer fame.
Yeah.
Carrington Harrison, afternoon host, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. You can get him on Twitter at c.harrison, at c.dot. Harrison on Twitter. Hey, Carrington, really appreciate you making time and enjoy the game tomorrow. But not too much, we hope, here in Houston.
Well, you know what? I think that the best thing for everybody is to just let Kansas City win this game and then clinch the one seed, and then they can take a little bit of rest for the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest here. You guys don't think that you're actually going to do anything in the postseason.
Oh,
we know how this story is going to end.
Listen,
we
know, man, I held my tongue when I talked about how many weird Missourians are probably sniffing whichever seat Taylor Swift sat in at the diner and how much you guys are probably charging for it. I held my tongue.
We just got a tweet, Carrington, from a loyal listener, said, "What a great guest from Kansas City. I wish you could have him on more often." And then you come in with your three Super Bowl smack talk on us.
This is the thing. I'm not having any smack talk. We just see, this is what it is. The Chiefs are a Bentley. You guys are a Chrysler 300. That's a good car. Nobody's hating on it if you have a Chrysler 300. You guys are going to win 10, maybe 11 games because you play in a weak division.
Okay.
You guys could maybe win your first playoff game. Then you'll go on the road and you'll play one of the teams that can actually win the Super Bowl, and you'll lose, kind of like last year. Okay.
I'm going to be disappointed. Okay. I will tell you, honestly, Carrington, the way I realistically feel about it is, yes, for this team to make a push in the playoffs, it's going to have to be one of those freakishly historic defensive runs, and it's going to have to come with the Texans getting 3 interceptions per game, and they're humming right now. So, like, that's where I'm hanging my hopes on. I've given up hope on them actually having any kind of a legitimate rushing attack.
Hey, Carrington, real quick, because I know you got to get going and we got to get going, but we do a segment at 8:25 every Friday called 5 Reasons I Hate You,
yeah,
where we do it about the team that the Texans are playing. Guess who just shot up to number one on the list in the next segment, my friend?
Yeah.
Carrington Harrison.
I didn't do anything to deserve this. I did absolutely nothing to deserve this. You guys wanted me to come on and give my opinion. I gave my opinion. Yep. I feel like I had a good performance. I appreciate you both.
You did. Carrington, you're the best, man. Appreciate you.
See you guys later.
All right, take it easy.
There was a point
get
where...
Get out!
when he said, when he said, he kind of just very cheerfully and jovially and not maliciously pointed out that Pat Mahomes basically doesn't have any drop off in his play.
Yeah.
When he's got an ankle injury. Yeah. That felt a little bit like a dagger in my heart. And he was doing it very jovially.
You and I both, you're watching on YouTube, when he said that, you and I both are like,
just give me something.
Yeah, something.
I was texting with some of my old high school classmates the other day about one of our friends from high school who did some time. We're pretty sure he's definitely murdered somebody in his life.
Yeah.
This guy. But he's otherwise like the friendliest guy in the world. But he's just kind of psychotic.
Yeah.
But I'm almost convinced that he's definitely like jovially murdered somebody at some point. Like with killed somebody because he had to tell him he had to kill it. Yeah, that's what Carrington just did.
Carrington just did that. All right, 5 reasons I hate you, Kansas City style. We may have to adjust the list here in just a second. Stay there. We'll do that next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, you're mesmerized by the TV screen in here right now.
Vanessa Richardson's up interviewing Jalen Green. Not live. This is from last night.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jalen, no, I'm looking at Jalen Green's braids. That looks like that's probably
thinking
like 6 hours.
Thinking about going with a little change for yourself?
No. God, I could never grow my hair out long enough to You see, I got a haircut yesterday because I was starting to get a little too. I do not like braidable. Hair on my
not
head.
Braidable, yeah.
No, but that's an intricate braid.
It's tight, man.
That takes time, man, and it hurts afterwards. You got a headache, no because they pull it super tight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know from experience, just from guys telling me about it.
My big takeaway, Jalen Green, toughness.
Yes.
He's got toughness.
That's evidence of that's what scouts will talk about. Like, did you see how tight
his
braids are?
He didn't have that? Did he have that?
And he performed well with tight braids like that?
Did he have that before Ime Udoka got there? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm going to create a narrative where Ime Udoka has made Jalen Green braid level tough.
It was a nice still frame, though, because you could see Jalen Green looked good. And then Vanessa Richardson looked really good. Like, it was a nice still shot because of the lighting after the game and everything.
Yeah, all the the dark lights and the red lights going doing their thing.
Did they do that? Was yesterday when they did the Christmas vacation thing?
Yes, that was last night. Yeah, they played Christmas. I think they did. They were advertising they were going to play Christmas vacation at the game at the Toyota Center. All right, let's get to five reasons I hate you for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Carrington Harrison, who just joined us in the previous segment and started throwing haymakers at the very end of the interview, we're not going to put him in here. I'm going on his show later today. I will try to come up with a proportional response to represent Houston on his show. Maybe I'll come in with these five reasons we hate the Kansas City Chiefs so much. But let's do it here. Number five, 24-0 lead back in January of 2020. One of our worst football memories in history. I think I speak for all of Houston when I say this. The Houston Texans, the last time they played in Arrowhead Stadium, Seth, with a crowd there, because they played there in the opener the next year, in the COVID year, but there was no fans there. The last time they played in front of a crowd, they coughed up a 24-0 lead by halftime of that game. They were trailing 28-24 of that divisional round playoff game, coached by Bill O'Brien. I hate that day, and for that reason, I hate the Kansas City Chiefs.
And that was a performance in which that entire playoffs, the Chiefs kept coming back from double-digit deficits.
That's right.
Every single game.
Texans set the tone.
That was the first. That was when we first learned to just never count out the Chiefs, no matter what they look like or what have you. So the Chiefs this year, offensively, they've been almost exactly the same as the Texans.
Yeah.
The quarterback play has been eerily similar. They've scored 329 points. The Texans have scored 328 points. And yet, we've all learned our lesson by now that you can't count these guys out of either any game or any playoff run, no matter what they look like in the regular season.
Yeah, and the Texans started it. The Texans were the catalyst.
The Chiefs, they ran out of gunpowder. That's how unprepared they were from the fireworks, remember?
The fireworks, I do. I actually wrote that in my Houston Press write-up for this game. The last time the Texans were here in front of a crowd, the Kansas City Chiefs literally ran out of fireworks.
If it was an actual war, we would have had them right where we wanted them.
Yes.
You know, we would have been like, all right, we've sustained losses, but it's finally
hot
worked.
It's too bad it was a football.
The enemy's will is gone. They have nothing to fight us. We could have run ramshackle all through their villages.
Ramshackle.
But unfortunately, it was just a football game.
Yep, too bad. Number four, it's just quite simply, Patrick Mahomes is the corniest GOAT-level player of all time.
Oh.
That Patrick Mahomes has become the guy who's on every commercial in this era is bothersome to me, because you gotta use Head and Shoulders, you know? You gotta use State Farm. Jake from State Farm, you gotta use State Farm as your insurance. Like, he's just so... voice.
Yeah, I guess...
He's so corny, man.
Of the greatest athletes of all time, he's definitely cornier than Serena Williams.
Yes.
I'm not sure he's cornier than Michael Phelps. Phelps has a little cred from just his, the bong video back in the day.
Yeah.
He's battled through some mental health struggles and everything.
And I'm talking more like the spokesperson Mahomes. Like, that he's on every commercial. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is someone you'd never put on a commercial if he were just some regular
so
dude.
So LeBron's got some cringeable stuff frequently, but he's not just that corny type of weird voice, whatever.
Right, right. He's good looking.
You get it.
Guy.
You get the appeal with
totally
LeBron.
Totally do. Yeah, totally. And I get the appeal with Mahomes. He's good at football, but the rest of the package is just so corny. And Patrick Mahomes seems like a great dude, but I literally, like, I cringe when he does these commercials. He's so bad. All right, number three, five reasons I hate you. My arch nemesis is on the Kansas City Chiefs. DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read you a headline from back in July of 2023.
I remember this incident.
DeAndre Hopkins was a Tennessee Titan, and he was practicing one day at training camp, and I tweeted rare footage of DeAndre Hopkins practicing.
Yeah.
Didn't tag him on it because some people are like, you should tag him, say it to his face. And I'm like, the last thing they want are all the replies from that on their timeline, you know?
Like, yeah, they don't need it.
They don't care.
It's considered bad form to just put it right at his doorstep. If a guy's trying to ignore it, he can ignore it if he wants.
Well, he didn't ignore it.
Yeah.
He came after me on Twitter. And after I posted that, of course, the narrative on DeAndre being he never practiced when he was. That's why he got traded, reportedly, is because he never wanted to practice. He decided to... He decided to respond to the tweet by saying, just buy my jersey for your wife at this point. I'm sure she's tired of hearing my name in your sleep. End quote. Now, he did what DeAndre does, which is eventually delete the tweet. He'll come after people, but then he deletes it.
Which is a wise move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he actually reached out to me in DMs and said, hey, man, it's all love. I'm just having fun. And we did squash our beef. But for purposes of tomorrow, hate you again, DeAndre.
Yeah.
Hate you.
And even though he wasn't actually really saying anything about Amy, he did bring your wife into
Dragged her into it.
He brought her into it. Yeah.
And that's one of those things, too. Like, obviously, if you read the tweet, the connotation is that I dream about him. And
you want to sleep with him.
I want to sleep with him.
Yeah.
But that is one of those tweets that if you just skim and see the word wife and buy my jersey, that you think he's saying, I'm going to bang your wife.
Right.
So you just skim it.
Yeah.
You know?
Or that your wife is obsessed or something. Right. That's how, and a lot of people actually put that in the headline that he was going after Amy.
Yeah.
But which wasn't the case at all. No, he was saying that you were obsessed with
him. The headline wound up being in the Chronicle, DeAndre Hopkins, Sean Pendergast, squash beef after star mentions host's wife. Not tomorrow, though, my friend. Beef unsquashed.
I cannot. Listen, we will not let him besmirch the honor of Amy Pendergast.
Damn right.
Like that. No,
I'm going to be the one that besmirches her.
Yes.
If anybody's going to besmirch Amy Pendergast's honor, it's going to be Sean Pendergast.
And we'll have a contest later, too, where one of you can win a raffle, and then you can besmirch Amy. But nobody else.
I don't like that idea at all. All right, let's get to number two. Rashee Rice, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver. He's out for the year. He's injured. Yeah. But that doesn't mean we can't hate on him. He got off easy. I don't think he even got a suspension for all the chicanery he was causing on freeways in the Dallas area, I believe it was.
Right, yeah. What the hell is that?
Drag racing, I think, had a car that at least smelled of weed.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a firearm there.
No, they
somewhere.
Found firearms in the trunk. After Rashee Rice and his cohorts had just walked away from the accident.
Walked away from the accident. And the big thing was, like, there were a lot of innocent people in this accident.
Yeah.
Could have been really, really bad. He got off easy, so at the very least, he will be subject number two on Five Reasons I Hate You on Payne and Pendergast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let this go unpunished.
Yeah.
I'm the hero you all need. So, yeah, he got off easy. Man, I can't believe. Can you believe he didn't get suspended for any of that?
No, especially because it involved. Now, I don't know the details of the case, and maybe they proved that they weren't his weapons or whatever. I don't know.
Or he wasn't driving or
but
whatever.
But usually, especially once it involves weapons of any sort, they don't mess around with that, and there's going to be some kind of a punishment.
His mom, if I'm not mistaken, also porch pirate.
Oh, that's right. She got caught stealing packages, allegedly. Yep.
So that's reason 2A.
All right, listen. One thing to be a porch pirate. Listen, sometimes you. Yeah, times are tough, you know? But she was wearing her son's jersey when she did it.
Right.
Don't be an incompetent porch pirate. Don't wear identifiable apparel while you're pirating a porch.
Right. All right, reason number one.
See that one video that was floating around? Maybe this is probably like 3 years old, but I saw it for the first time. Guy was like, I found a way to get rid of that my old TV. He put it in packaging, like put it on his porch.
That's hilarious.
Came and stole
it. Funny. Yeah, if there's ever a garbage strike, just take your garbage, put it in a big
make
box,
it look like
and
a
wrap
nice
it.
Package.
Yeah. Reason number one. Steven Nelson, he's back on the Kansas City Chiefs. We may very well see Steven Nelson with all these injuries they have at cornerback.
Yeah.
Is he still on the practice squad, or has he been elevated?
I don't think they've elevated him yet, but I'll almost be surprised at this point if they don't.
I agree.
And I think Steven Nelson, like, he's one of those guys that I think doesn't have to get ready because he stays ready. He's probably in pretty good shape. So
he's pretty ready on his podcast, for sure.
I guess he'll play this week.
Yeah. He called D'Amico a milk dud head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that to my head coach.
And he implied that Nick Caserio was a clown for wearing his sweater vest.
He got after Caserio, too, when he was still a Texan here. Yeah, for his vest.
Give me a break.
Right. So that's reason number one. Steven Nell, you don't call D'Amico Ryan's milk dud head and get away with it. Hey, a bonus one?
You as a bald man, as a vanilla dud head, was especially offended about that.
Yes. Yeah. Anybody with a dud head. Any flavor dud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They make, like, white chocolate milk duds?
Oh, do they?
I don't know. I was asking.
Well, it took them forever. It took Wendy's forever to get a vanilla Frosty. And the chocolate Frosties, they didn't get vanilla
Frosties. That's all
they had? They had chocolate forever, just for like 40 years. All they had was chocolate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really?
Vanilla's fairly new. We'll look it up. Vanilla fairly new, yeah. Bonus, Five Reasons I Hate You. This is for the people saying, hey, Have you seen what Charles Omenihu said about the Texans?
Yeah, yeah, we heard it.
Did an interview with what looked to be somebody that had some UT ties, and it's making the rounds on Twitter. The full interview's out there, but this is the cut. Charles Omenihu, who left here, traded to the 49ers, pretty scorned by the Texans, at least in his mind. This is what he had to say.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't f*** with this organization at all, and I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some fire, but yeah.
And I don't know if that interview took place this week or earlier this season. I have no idea.
So many of you is here for, you know, the ugliest, most dramatic, most dysfunctional era probably in this young franchise's history.
Yeah.
When you brought in a coach and David Culley, who clearly wasn't cut out to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Easterby was doing all kinds of weird stuff behind the scenes. And guys like Justin Reed, who also played for the Chiefs, had issues that year. And Justin Reed, I don't know if Justin Reed's ever had any kind of an issue on any team he's ever been on.
I couldn't find a reason to hate him
but
in this segment.
That year, yeah, it was so weird. Yeah. But Omenihu seems like he's holding the grudge. Hopkins has said conciliatory things this week. Reed's always been super professional about it, but Omenihu still has an axe to grind. Mostly against, I'm guessing, Nick Caserio.
I think Hopkins wouldn't mind coming back here for the twilight of his career.
Yeah,
I think he wouldn't mind coming back here. It's a different day and age in the building over there, mm-hmm. All right, that was five reasons I hate you, plus a bonus reason, Kansas City Chiefs style. We get to do this again on Tuesday on Christmas Eve for the Baltimore Ravens.
Are we going to do a Tuesday Circle of Swarm as well? I guess
we should. Yeah. I think we will. Yeah, so Tuesday.
We're going to have 6 hours of programming to cram in all of our most petty things.
That's true. Tuesday's a, yeah,
you're
right.
Well, we could also do it Wednesday morning.
We could, yeah. No, that's the day of the game.
I know, but it's a weekday.
Yeah, we're not doing a show Wednesday.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
Yeah, we're doing the
pregame.
Usually
when it's like a Thursday night game or whatever, we do our morning show and then we also do the pregame.
But the game's at 3:30. Yeah, we're not on the air. We get to open gifts.
Yeah, I don't think you should just like casually be acting like I'm an idiot for thinking we might have a show that morning.
Acting like you're an idiot.
Yeah.
All right.
We do get our vacation day, though.
Payne and Pendergast. Hell of a day.
Hey, you guys are taking your vacation day, right? Before you work 9 hours? Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky. He is frightened about what the Kansas City defense could do to the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hear from him as to why next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Five Reasons I Hate You always gets a reaction. So did Charles Omenihu with the audio that we played. Omenihu is sour for the Texans and the 49ers. That's from Derwin. If you missed it, Charles Omenihu. Ben, we can probably play that one more time, right? It's only like 11 seconds long. In an interview, had this to say. Former Texan had this to say about the Texans.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't f*** with this organization at all. And I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, all it's right. Definitely going to be some fire with them.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. That'll happen tomorrow.
We don't know who he's being interviewed by, so I don't know. That guy seemed to be savoring the moment, too.
He did. Yeah. I think he's friendly with Omenihu. Yeah. Seems like it.
Excited to watch it.
Seems like it.
Sounded kind of creepy.
People texting in, reasons number one and two should be Nick Wright and Ron Hugel to hate Kansas City. Stop it. Those are our friends and former and current co-workers, all right?
Yeah, Nick
would take great pride in that, I
think. Oh, yeah.
Ron maybe too. I don't know.
I think that with Ron, you know, Ron's take on exactly what's going on with the Chiefs offense, I think might be a bit more pessimistic than the average Kansas City person.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's right.
Yeah, Ron feels like Mahomes hasn't quite been the same guy the last couple years.
And Ron.
They had that great, you got to give him all the credit in the world for still putting together that Super Bowl run they did last year. But maybe there's something more long-term at play here. You gotta call it what it is. In the regular season, at least, Pat Mahomes hasn't been one of the best regular season quarterbacks in the league over the last 2 years.
Correct.
You should never, ever, ever, ever count him out in any kind of a playoff
run. And yet if you needed one quarterback to go get you a drive at the end of a game,
yeah,
it's Patrick Mahomes, you know?
I feel like it's Josh Allen at this point.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How about
Josh Allen with Andy Reid?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Let's get to Dan Orlovsky here. You're nervous about the Texans' offensive line, right? Especially the interior?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I've talked myself into little nuggets of optimism here and there, but overall, you just... The problem is, you know what the problem is? That I watch other teams play football.
Yeah.
Because I watch the Texans, I'm like, all right, well, okay, sure got... Okay, we had four missed assignments on this run play, but you can... If all you do is get those four assignments right, this could have been a five-yard game. And then you watch, like, you watch pretty much every other team in the league. You're like, oh, look at these guys all know who they're supposed to block.
Super jealous.
Amazing.
Man.
How do you get to the point?
Super jealous.
At the elite level where your offensive linemen and tight ends know who they're supposed to block.
Well, Dan Orlovsky basically thinks that the Texans' offensive line is going to get CJ Stroud murdered
the
tomorrow.
The interior offensive line, specifically. Yes.
Their inability to pick up games and twists and stunts up front. Here was Orlovsky doing a little bit of film breakdown yesterday on ESPN.
My concern is that strength matches up with Houston's weakness. Mm-hmm. If I'm Houston, because, and specifically the inside, the guards of the Houston Texans are going to get absolutely abused in the games. The interior has been the issue all week, but to my point, the guards. And all Spags is going to do is run what we call these pick stunts, where a linebacker is going to wrap and pin the hip of that guard, and then that defensive tackle. Guys, three offensive linemen are blocking absolutely nobody. Like, this has got to drive Bobby Slowick absolutely out of his freaking mind, because it happens all the time. Sometimes it doesn't even mean a pressure is going to happen, a blitzer. They'll just do those internal stunts. If you're Kansas City and you're going to get Chris Jones doing this with a Mike Dana or George Karlaftis, that guard is looking out to his right. Dude, you should probably at some point get your eyes back inside, because here comes that loop. And again, both guards blocking absolutely nobody. One of them's on the ground. The interior play, the guards are going to get picked and stunted in games so much.
Yeah.
And even then, you know Spags is going to show you more, and he's going to say, you're not ready or planned for it, and we'll get home.
Let me just create the visual real quick, because if you're listening to that audio, I get it that he's breaking down video, but it's the tone with Orlovsky that I think is so good in that audio. And I think people know what he's breaking down. Like, we've watched enough Texans to know what he's describing. The part where he goes, dude, get your eyes back around.
Yes.
Shaq Mason is standing with no person within 5 feet of him.
Yeah.
Staring straight ahead like he's a statue in the town square. I'm waiting for a bird to take a dump on his head.
They're so ridiculously unaware of the way the game of football works at times in pass protection. There's another example where...
Shaq's been in the league for 15 years.
No, and there's like some of it's a simple stuff. Like, there's an example where the right guard and the right tackle slide to the right, and there's one guy there. Everybody else drops out, and Jarrett Patterson is just still staring off to the right. Meanwhile, the guy that had been over Jarrett Patterson had slanted the other way, which the rule is that means somebody's coming back. So basically, like, be aware of that. There might be somebody. When somebody leaves you, somebody's going to replace him. And they stare off into space.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I feel like they think, like, oh, I must have the down off. And then Shaq Mason did the same thing. The first play that I was talking about there, Shaq was playing right guard. He had nobody to block. He actually had to shove Jarrett Patterson back over, but it was too late for Patterson to notice. Oh, they ran a game over here, and there's a guy coming free right up the middle. I mean, it's high school level stuff. No. I don't get it or understand it or know. I can't. I have no. This is why I get so frustrated. I have no answers for you. I don't know how this happens. I don't know how.
What was the week in the season where we felt like this should have been fixed? You know what I mean? Like, we're in week 16 now.
Yeah.
I'm beyond that point. I'm like, this is just who they are. This is how they're taught. This is how they're internalizing the communication that they're getting. There's a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's with the talent level. Like, these are talented players who have done this before. It is either, it's either laziness, or they're just not getting the message. It's being poorly communicated to them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, they've not changed enough of what goes on around it for me to think, like, this is when it's going to click.
Yeah, well, and then there's...
Tomorrow against the Chiefs.
You know, one of the plays he shows, it's where, you know, it's simple math sometimes where, okay, they send a four-man... The Dolphins send a four-man blitz versus three blockers. That's where, all right, CJ's got to know to get the ball out quick.
Right.
But it's on any given play, it's something. There's just somebody that doesn't get it and doesn't understand... what's going on. The run game, when I watched through the first time, I was kind of forgiving of a lot of stuff, and there weren't that many actual run snaps to evaluate. But then in going through a second time,
Oh. Talking about the Dolphins game?
Yes, the Dolphins game. Just the Texans are just, there's so many guys out of position. There's so many guys with missed assignments. There's so many guys that are lost. That, yeah, that's on Bobby Slowick. It just has to be. It's not, when you get up week after week and say, hey, we're good when we execute, all right, then why are you wholesale not executing with multiple guys every single week? That's got to be on Slowick and Strouser and everybody else coaching the staff right now.
Text message, Wendy's has a salted caramel Frosty now. They do. They've got multiple flavors now. But forever, it was just chocolate. Forever. Very frustrating.
A lot of good, it's probably one of the more under-heralded innovations, vanilla scientific Frosty? Innovations of this century.
Vanilla Frosty, for me, it was.
That Wendy's learned how to make, they're the only fast food place that knew how to make baked potatoes forever.
That's true. And chili. You get a cup of chili at Wendy's.
There's something about Wendy's. I admire their style. They're like, oh,
it's gonna be a little different.
We're going to give you a loaded baked potato.
Yeah.
How about that? Nobody else is doing that.
No one's doing that. And they're not milkshakes. They're Frosties. They're a little thicker. You need a spoon.
Is that the difference?
You need a spoon for the Frosty. I mean, until it melts a little bit. But yeah, it is thicker than a normal milkshake.
Where is it that they turn it upside down? Is that Dairy Queen? Or is that with the Frosty? Isn't there some? What's the frozen drink that Dairy Queen has? It's like a milkshake. A Blizzard.
A Blizzard, yeah.
Don't they like turn it upside down or something?
Yes. That's not even a drink. That's like legit soft serve ice cream with a bunch of candy crumbled into it.
Oh, really?
You definitely need a spoon for that.
You need a spoon for that.
Gotta have a spoon for that, yeah. Yep. Let's see. Milk Duds are disgusting. They're for the same people who enjoy Mounds and Circus Peanuts. I can get with that. Circus Peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Circus Peanuts.
Okay.
I don't think Milk Duds are disgusting. The other two, Mounds and Circus Peanuts.
Yeah.
You can have those.
I like Mounds.
You do?
Feels like I'm eating health food.
Because there's coconut in there?
I'm like, there's a coconut. There's an almond. I read something about almonds being good for you.
Almond Joy is the one that has the almond.
Oh, that's Almond Joy.
Mounds is an Almond Joy sans the almond. Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. Okay. No, I need the healthy one.
It's basically chocolate with coconut.
The Almond Joy, that's the health food.
Oh, it's got a
candies.
Nut.
Yeah.
It's got a nut and coconut in there.
Mm-hmm.
You got something that grows on trees inside this candy bar.
Yeah.
Nutritious. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Was asked an interesting question by Amy Lawrence, actually, when I was on with her yesterday. Which version of the Texans, if you're a fan, do you trust more going into the postseason? Last year's version or this year's version? We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, injury report.
Mokarem Injury Lawyers with your injury report for this week against the Chiefs. Christian Harris popped up yesterday. He's questionable with an ankle. Foley Fadakasi and John Mechie is out. Those guys are both out. Drew Scruggs still out with his foot/ankle injury. And Cade Stover will still be out. He had his appendix out a couple weeks ago. On the Chiefs side of the ball, the two most notable ones are DJ Humphreys, who had been their third starting left tackle for the season. He's going to be out for a second week. Well, the Joe Tooney, their left guard, moves out to left tackle most likely. And then Chamari Connor, their slot corner, who had a concussion last week, he'll be out for this game. That's your injury report brought to you by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.